I told somebody this week I'm speaking about hunting, so a person was kind enough to send me an article. He sent me a 4-page article that was recently written that hunting is on the way down. People are not really into hunting anymore, and he told me you don't have to be concerned because Baruch Hashem, this is becoming obsolete. But unfortunately, there are some other people who let me know that there are many other things, even if hunting is down, there are many other sports with animals that are taking place. Besides, you don't have to go as far as to Spain or Portugal to see the bullfights, but I'm told that there are all type of different arrangements where animals fight each other. There are people that have arrangements where dogs fight roosters, and people that have arrangements where spiders fight scorpions, right? And they have snakes fighting mongooses, and animals fighting animals. I even found a tshuva in the Shaul's tshuva is told as Yaakov, Siman Lamed Gimel, where he discusses dogs fighting chazerim. So obviously all throughout the history, people got a tremendous amount of pleasure from seeing animals get hurt, or I don't want to say animals get hurt. Unfortunately, if you take a look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara speaks about the Karkoim, where the gladiators were, so they got the pleasure, Chalila, the Romans got pleasure from seeing, they put two animals into a pit, and they would let the two fight till one would kill the other. And then what would happen is, they sometimes would even put, not sometimes, they put an animal and a person into a pit, and they would make the two fight until one killed the other. But even worse, what the Romans would do is, and you see how what kind of cruel nature they were from, they would put two people into a ring, and they, one was either a prisoner or a captive, and they would make the two fight till one killed the other. So you see the tremendous cruel nature that certain goyim had of what they would do. So we're going to start off, the main topic that there is to discuss is hunting itself, the history of hunting in the Torah, and to understand the halachas that are negeya to hunting. What's that? Hunting for a sport. Yeah, I want to get to that. Hunting, that's exactly what I'm going to discuss. That's the first thing I want to talk about. I want you even to know that a certain shuvah svarim discussed, they used to have a certain bird. The bird, it's brought down, the shuvah svarim is the kermoniyim it's brought down. And this bird would go, and it would fly into the ocean, it would grab a fish in its mouth, and the hunter beforehand would tie its neck. And since the hunter would tie its neck, the bird would go down, grab the fish, bring the bird back to the hunter, and he would be able to take the fish. So you have all kinds of different shailas that come up in Tzar Bala Chaim, and I would like to go through them. We'll start off with hunting. Now, hunting historically, if you look in the Torah, kemat all the time, dogs were used in the hunting. Now, dogs were used for two reasons, okay? Sometimes to capture the animal, usually with their sense of smell, to track the animal, and what they would do is they would run after the animal, the dogs would surround the animal, and once the dogs would surround the animal, the hunter was able to come and grab the animal. Now, if you have to hunt, obviously you need to have ammunition. Who was the first ammunition manufacturer in the Torah? All right, his name was Tuval Kayan, okay, because it says Tuval Kayan means he perfected the act of Kayan. Kayan was the first killer, right? Kayan was the first killer. So Tuval Kayan, it says in the Rishonim, was the person, he was the first one to have a company which manufactured weaponry. That was his role, what he used to do. There happens to be this very famous Chazal that says that Lemach, who was the father of Kayan, all right, who was blind, and he was walking together with Tuval Kayan, who was the grandson of the first Kayan, who had a shua that there were going to be seven generations where nobody was going to kill him, and he was walking together with his father, and his father was holding the bow and arrow, and what happened was, Tuval Kayan saw this animal running, and once he saw an animal running, he figured, this is an animal. Really, it wasn't an animal, it was really his grandfather. And he said to his father, who was blind, he says, okay, pull it, shoot! And he shot, and he went and he killed his own grandfather. That's the famous story in the Torah. But it's an amazing thing, he was blind, and there was such an urge to go hunting, that he would go even when he was blind with his son and tell his son, the son would say shoot, and then he would actually shoot. But Bekitsa Maisa, who, now that we know who the first ammunition manufacturer was, the question is, who is the first hunter? And obviously the first hunter is Nimrod. Now, how do I know he was the most famous hunter? Because the Torah says. The Torah says, "He ho yegibet zayin lefnei Hashem." Okay? Esav was also a hunter. Esav, it says, "Vayigli hanaorim, vayihi Esav ish zayid ish yodeya sada." That is a shal seshuvas harashba in Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf Samach Dalid, who quotes exactly what Yuri just told us. And the Rashba says as follows. Yuri, you saw the Rashba already, right?
Yeah.
That's how you know it, I figured. So the Rashba says as follows. The Rashba says that when it says they were an Ish Sayyid, they were a people of hunting. What does it mean? So the Rashba says it's kederach hamalochim, like the kings. When the kings go hunting, they don't go hunting like a regular person goes hunting for food. If you go hunting for food, the Rashba says, and Echanami 100% it's mutter, but they didn't go hunting for food. You know why they went hunting? They went hunting because their intentions were, what were their intentions? For sport, for fun. Like the Rashba says, l'malois tavosam, to fill their taiva, for their enjoyment, to get out there and be able to hunt. That was the reason why they hunted. Now the Rashba says, if you want to know if you're allowed to hunt or not, of course you're allowed to hunt. The Torah says, mefurish, ish a person, ki yotzit sayid, that goes out and he hunts. So, and the Torah says you have to be mechaser adam, and has to be a kosher type of animal. So you see clearly the Torah has sanctioned hunting. Okay, more than that, the Rashba says. It says in the Torah, zois hataya chachaya shatoichal, and the chayas that you're allowed to eat are the domesticated animals and the non-domesticated animals. So if you see you're allowed to eat the non-domesticated animals, if you're not going to hunt them, how are you going to be able to eat them? Now, the Raya happens to be, there's a little bit of a shail on the Raya, because the emes is that technically speaking, they used to trap them. So really, they could have trapped the animal, and after they trapped the animal, they could have shecht it. Aba l'maisa, we see throughout the Doirist al Pitoir, there were many, many people who hunted for panosa. You look in the Gemara on Shabbos, there was Yosef Rishba. Rishba means a hunter. Chulm daf Nadalad, Rav Papa Baraba Rishba. Okay? As a matter of fact, in Chulm daf Lamed, the Gemara brings down a story that Rava had, there was another Amira whose name was Rabbi Yonah bat Tachlifa, who actually was a sharpshooter. Alright? And this sharpshooter, he was so accurate with his shooting that he was able to shecht a bird that was flying mid-ear. So the Gemara brings down that the Rava used to take a chetz, a arrow, and after he took, you have to, in order to shecht an animal, you have to do bedikas hasakin. So therefore, Rava would go, check the sakin for Rabbi Yonah bat Tachlifa, and after he would check the arrow and see that there was no pegim in the arrow, Rabbi Yonah bat Tachlifa would shoot, he would slice the neck of the bird mid-ear, the bird would fall down, and they would eat the bird. That's what the Gemara tells us. So you see, clearly, that was for Panasa, because he was shechting it that it should be kosher. So for Panasa, 100%, it is absolutely mutter, like Yuri told us. Now, the emes is, we have to, the Israel, the truth is, there is a story in the Torah which we have to think about, and it has to be that it's mutter, because the Torah tells us that Yitzchak wanted to give Esav the brochas. And when Yitzchak wanted to give Esav the brochas, what did he say to him? He says, Havali Tzayit, go hunt for me. Now, how did he tell him? Yitzchak Avinu went and told Esav to hunt for him. How did he tell him to hunt for him? So obviously, you can hunt, and it can be mutter be'achila. Now, it's very interesting that if you look on the spot, the Mefarshim Shtelzech, all the way back from the Medrash Rabbah into all the Rishonim, how is this food of Esav actually kosher food? That's the next shaila. How is the food of Esav, how is it actually kosher? What was Yitzchak thinking? So the emes is, there's a Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah says, Sono kel yicha. So the Medrash said that Yitzchak told Esav, let be boidik the sakin. So you see that he clearly told him to do bedikas hasakin. Tzeda, if you look in the Balaturim, has an extra hay, should say tzoyed, and the reason is because the extra hay is the chomesh hilchis shchita, the five halachas of shchita. Yitzchak taught them to Esav. So the pashtis, if you take a look at the topic, what Esav was really doing was, Esav was trapping the animal. He was not hunting down the animal. He was trapping the animal, because you can't shoot an animal and then do bedikas hasaken. So obviously he trapped the animal, and then later when the animal came close to him, he would shech the animal. That's the pashtus of what was happening over here. And as a matter of fact, there's a famous Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says Esav went and he got an animal or two or three, and after he went and he got them, what happened? The satan would come and he would untie the knot. So the pashtus to this topic is that what actually happened was that he was not trying to hunt them by shooting, but rather what he was doing was he was going and he was capturing them, and then he would check them afterwards. However, it's very interesting to note that there's a Tur, and the Tur doesn't learn this way. The Tur asks the Kasha. The Tur asks the Kasha, how could Yitzchak go and eat from the tzayid of Esav? The Tur asks that the tzayid of Esav is shchita with a chetz, is shchita through shooting. How is he allowed to eat it? How is Yitzchak allowed to eat this shchita? So the Emes is, the Pardes Yosef asks the Gevaldi Akasha on the tour. The tour says, has a kasha. What's the kasha of the tour? How are you allowed to go and eat it if it was shot? So the tour asks a beautiful question. If the Gemara tells us that Rava was able to go and do bedikas hasaken on an arrow and give the arrow over to Rav Yoina bat Tachlifa to Shech, isn't it a kal v'chaima? I mean, Esav was as good as a sharpshooter as they made it, right? I mean, vahi Esav ish yodei atzayit. The Torah is made that he knew how to hunt, so you can't get a better hunter than Esav. So if Rabbi Yoina bat Tachlifa was a good enough of a sharpshooter to shoot down a bird mid ear, you're going to tell me that Esav was not good enough of a sharpshooter to shoot an animal and kill it? So what's the Torah's kasha, Frank the Pardes Yosef? So the Pardes Yosef says very interesting teretz. One of the halachas on Hilchos Shechita is that you're not allowed to make a chaloda. A chaloda means that when you shech, the knife has to be open to the ear. The knife is not allowed to get covered by the neck. The neck has to peel open, and the knife has to continuously cut. If at any point the knife gets covered from the second side, then it's one of the chamish hilchos shechita. There's five hilchos shechita that's brought down the Torah: shia, chaloda, hagrama, oiker, right? All the different things that are brought down. So, and one of the things are chaloda. Chaloda means that the knife can't be covered. Also, therefore, the Pardes Yosef explains that was what the Torah's question really was. If you're going to shoot with an arrow, what can happen is if you don't slice the neck at a perfect angle, the arrow goes into the neck, and then it might slice it from the inside out. Now, if it sliced the neck from the inside out, Zokta Pardes Yosef, what happens is as it shechted, there was a chaloda. Now, the Emes says Esav was a mumer. Since Esav was a mumer, he had no nemonis. If he had no nemonis, a bishlaim on the knife, Yitzchak can check the knife, you can see it was kosher. What? But you can feel the knife, it's hagosha. You can feel the knife and see if it was good or not. Okay? Bishloima, the neck itself, somebody else, somebody who we trust, he can ask Rivka to check if the simonim was shechted through. But if you do bishloima, that's very good if you do it with a regular knife. But if you do it through shooting, the Pardes Yosef explains that to us kasha was. So how do you know there wasn't a chaloda? The only one that knew was Esav. Esav can't be trusted, he's a mumah. The Emes is, as I spoke a few weeks ago already, the whole Indian is even more shver, because the Emes is that Esav had a din of a mumah lavoy dezora, and a mumah lavoy dezora we paskin is posel for shechita, even if you watch him and you see his kasha. So it happens to be a much stronger kasha besides that. But we'll leave this topic alone. Now, the truth is that if you really go through the actual hunting process that Esav used, Esav did not need the Medrash's Mahalach. Esav did not need the Tur's Mahalach. He really didn't need either one of the Mahalachim. Why is that? Because how did Esav usually shecht? There was something called the Big Day Esav HaChamudois, right? What is the history of the Big Day Esav HaChamudois? There was some special hunting clothing that were passed down in this world. They started off as the clothing of Adam HaRishon, the clothing that Hashem made for Adam HaRishon. The Sefer HaSor Mamoris says that, you know where it came from? The Ramami Pani says that the Eibusha shechted Leviathan to make those clothing for Adam HaRishon. Others learn that it came from a different source. Others learn, some learn that the clothing itself was either from the skin of the Leviathan. Some learn it was special clothing that the Rabbi Shalom gave him that looked like had animal pictures all over the clothing. Now, if you want to know, and what was the mile of these clothing? The mile of these clothing were, Adam had them, and then Adam went and it got passed down, it went into the Teva. Then Chum took them, and Chum went and sold them to Nimrod, what was the mile of them? Every Nimrod went out into the wild. Every animal that saw Nimrod, what did he do? Just went down like a puppy in front of Nimrod. And he was able to shecht any animal that he wanted. And that's why Nimrod became like a god by the goyim. How come? Because they said, if all the animals come, and what do? They just lie down in front of him. He must be who knows what kind of tremendous person, and he has such tremendous koiches. And this all was because of these clothing that Nimrod had. Now, what usually happened with these clothing? What happened was this was why he was the greatest hunter in the world. Came along Esav. Esav was very jealous of all the what I'm quoting now is a pick. Rebbe Leza, in Perek Chav Dalet, the Perek Rebbe Leza says, Esav was jealous. After Esav was jealous, what did he do? He went and he killed Nimrod for this clothing. Okay, Nimrod went and he took Nimrod's clothing. And how do I know that this is true, Dr. Perek Rebbe Leza? Because it says, as big day Esav ha-chamudois. What does it mean, chudois? Chamudois, that he was jealous. Who was he jealous of? Nimrod. He stole from them. And eventually, if anybody wants to get these clothing, you can't have him, because the Pirkei Avos tells us that Yaakov saw how much destruction this clothing can cause, and v'tamnam be'ofa. Yaakov went and he buried them somewhere, said, this clothing don't exist anymore, if anybody was looking to purchase an extra pair. But v'kitzah ma'isa, this is the history of this clothing. So now the obvious question is, if that's the case, how come Esav had to go suddenly hunting and he couldn't get an animal? He should have just put on his regular clothing. Now we know from the Torah that these clothing were by his mother, and these are the clothing that were given over to Yaakov. But the Sfarim pretty much writes, Sefer Eishdos writes that what happened was that was exactly what Yaakov. Some write that was simply al sashkocha. The Rebbe Yishlom wanted Yaakov to steal the brochas, but the Sefer Eishdos says that that's exactly the point. Yitzchak said to Esav, you want to get brachas, you need to have schusim. You need to be matriach yourself, v'kibadav. You be matriach yourself, v'kibadav. Go hunt v'tzidili tzoyed without the regular way that you usually hunt. Usually it's not even a matter of hunting, so that's why he didn't have the clothing. But that's a general history, al pi Torah, of hunting, and came out all of the times when they hunted, it always came along with dogs. Without dogs, they never hunted. Okay, as a matter of fact, there happens to be there's a medrash in this past week's parsha. The medrash says in this past week's parsha that Yaakov Avinu owned an enormous amount of dogs. Now, why do we have to own dogs? How come? Exactly. He had a big flock. And how do you keep the flock together? They're hunting dogs. They're shepherds. That's exactly what they had. The dogs always went and kept the animals in place. That is a very famous story to say over that. There's a very strong kasha really in this week's parsha, because Yaakov Avinu went and sent a mincha to Esav. If he sent a mincha to Esav, the mincha came along with a tremendous amount of animals. So the obvious kasha is, when he sent all the animals, how come didn't he send dogs? And it has to be that he sent dogs, because how would you keep the animals together if you didn't have dogs? That's a very famous kasha they ask. So they say over a story, the Biskarov was one time on a train. And as the Biskarov was on the train, they was going from city to city, and it was getting late, and they needed a minyan for mincha. So they looked on in that cabin, they found 9 yidden who were ready to daven mincha together. In the back of the plane, they saw a guy who they recognized. He once went to yeshiva when he was younger. He became a little bit of a maskil. And there became an argument between the Biskarov and the others, do we get him to come to mincha? So the Biskarov said, leave it up to me, I'll get him to come. So the Biskarov approaches him, and he tries to push him to daven, and he keeps on pushing off the Biskarov, he's not coming to the minyan. And as they're arguing, it's getting darker and darker, and eventually they saw they're going to miss mincha, so they went and they daven mincha, they did taka, this person resisted, they didn't have a minyan. So after mincha, the Biskarov was quite disappointed, he went over to him and he said, the Emma says, I always had a kasha that I was bothered by, and just now this kasha was fanfed for me. He says, what's the kasha? Kasha is, in Pashas Vayishla, Yaakov went and he sent a mincha to Esav. He sent a mincha to Esav and he sent all those different animals. The Torah mentions Ezen, Tyoshim, right? The Torah mentions all the different animals. The kasha is that the Medrash tells us Yaakov had all the dogs. So how come is it that in the mincha you don't find anything about the dogs that he sent him? So he said, the teretz must be when a dog smells a mincha, he runs away. That was the Briskarov's var to him on this week's parsha. All right, listen. I wonder if Meyer, if he was with Star of Dominion or not. I'm not sure. I don't know if the train ride went that much longer. But the kitzah ma'isa. Now, let's go back into... Now let's... now that we know the history of how hunting actually went in those times, let's actually now go into the halacha, and then after the halacha, let's carry it on through the further generations and bring it closer to today. Koyden kol. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Dorosh Rav Shimon ben Pazi. Rav Shimon ben Pazi says in Droshes. The Gemara, it says in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Ivederech Chatoyim Loi Omad. Okay, what does it mean? Ashrei Ha'ish. Lucky is the person that never stood Bederech Chatoyim. So the Rav Shimon Pazi tells us, Zeh Shalei Omad B'Kenigiyon Shalmalochim. A person that never went to the Kenigiyon Shalmalochim. What does it mean? Kenigiyon Shalmalochim. Zoktins Rashi. Rashi says that means to go on hunting trips with dogs. Okay, that's what it means. Which means that they used to go, like you said, for sheer pleasure. They would go hunting. You're not allowed to go. All right, now. And the main thing was that the Gemara says it was Moshev Leitzim. Moshev Leitzim means it was their culture. There was an enjoyment to kill. And the Prima Godim brings down the Shulchan Aruch, because the Emma says this halacha ends up being brought in Shulchan Aruch. And Shulchan Aruch is brought down in Simon Shin Teh Zayin, which discusses Seder, Siv Gimel. So the Rama brings down as follows. It says, the Mechaber says, you're not allowed to go and if you're on a hunting team and the dogs are running after a certain animal, the Meshasa Klovim. And as the dogs are running after an animal, you go and stand in front of the animal and you block its ability to run away. And then the dogs can pounce on the animal. So the Mechaber says, you oivet say don Shabbos. So the Rama adds on, what do you want with Shabbos? You're not allowed to do it in the weekdays either. Okay? And on the spot, the Prima Godin brings down that, and the Prima Godin says on the spot, that's assuming you're doing it for pleasure, not for business. Okay? There's an Urzurua, which the whole Urzurua is not quoted in the Rama, but the Magen Avram quotes it, and it's Pel de Galoshin. The Urzurua says that a person that joins B'Kenegiyon Shel Melochim is not going to be Zoicha to eat at the Sudas Levyosin. That's what he says. A person that goes and hunts for pleasure will not be Zoicha to the Sudas Levyosin. A pretty very strong exchange to lose. Now, throughout the generations, in the late 1700s and early 1800s, there was hunting going on in Italy, in the Jewish circles. And how do I know that? Because there's a whole sefer called Pachad Yitzchak, which is a collection. There were three Gedolei HaPoskim then wrote Shuvas about this. And if you read through the Shuvas, they already started to attack the issue Mitzad Halacha. And I went through it, I basically found eight Yesoides in Halacha, how they tried to ask for the hunting. The first one was, they said it's Baltashchis, and I'm going to go through them all soon, but I'll first quote them. The first issue they brought down was Baltashchis. The second issue they bring down is Saba L'chaim. Thirdly, they say, you're not allowed to go and make an Nevela B'yadayim. Fourth was that once you kill it, you end up having a Dov Ha'asa, and you're doing Schoir B'dvarim Ha'asurim. The fifth was Midas Achzorius. Number six, they said, since it was the culture of the Goyim, Yo'ivam V'chikaseim Lo'iselechi. Then they went into Bittel's Man, the seventh, and the eighth was Moshev Leitzim, like the Gemara quotes. Now, to go through all of these shuvas would take us a tremendous amount of time, but there's one shuva that's written after all of these shuvas by the Noidi B'Yehuda. There's a beautiful shuva in Noidi B'Yehuda in Yerudei at Simen Yud, and the Noidi B'Yehuda writes the following shuva. There was a very wealthy person who wrote a letter to him, and the Noidi B'Yehuda writes back, he says, the emesis, in a regular case, I wouldn't even write back to you. Why wouldn't I write back to you? Because he says that I don't even believe this is a shaila. However, since I see that overall you're an elcha person, and you give a lot of tzedakah and you're a prestigious person, I'm writing back to you on the shaila. And on the shaila that you asked that you would like to go out for pleasure and hunt, and that's your enjoyment. So he goes, the Noidi B'Yehuda, basically in this shuva, goes through all the shailas that we discussed till now. He says, do you want to know, number one he says, do you want to know if there's any issa of Saba L'chaim? Okay, that's the first shaila. He goes through them one by one. He says, I'll talk to you about Saba L'chaim. I'll talk to you about Baltashchis. And he says as follows. He says, Baltashchis, there's no Baltashchis, Zog to Noid B'Yehuda. How come? Because you're going to get the animal. You're going to have Hanoah from the Ur. And once you have Hanoah from the Ur, there's no Baltashchis whatsoever. More than that, Zog to Noid B'Yehuda. Who says there's a concept of Baltashchis here? This animal, you never had it. What does it mean, Baltashchis? I have something here, and I waste it. But if I never had this item in the first place, this thing was from Hefka, so how could you say it's Baltashchis? That happens to be the place that Acholik on the Noid B'Yehuda, as I mentioned before. But that's the second issue he brings down. He says, thirdly, he says, He says, on the contrary, he says, you say this is baltashkes. When this animal is out there, I can't have any of it. Now, even if I take a part of the animal, I have enough from the animal. He says, saba l'chaim. Who says when you kill an animal, saba l'chaim? When you go and you kill an animal for a use, for a purpose, there's no saba l'chaim whatsoever. And he goes through one by one. He says that some wanted to say that there was a minig that he never went hunting. So, the concept of a minig has to be something that was common to the people. Makom shenahaku has to be the people had this minig. Hunting was not something that was shchich enough by Klal Yisrael that you can even say a minig actually started. And the Navi Yehuda pretty much goes, and in halacha he pretty much says there is no issue whatsoever. There's nothing wrong with hunting. However, zok the Navi Yehuda, you want to know what's wrong with hunting? I'll tell you. And it's a pel the Navi Yehuda. He says that is if I will tell you that anyone that gets a pleasure and enjoyment out of hunting, be yadua, he should know she'einoy mebnei mizera Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. We come from an Am which is Rachma v'al kol ma'isav. The Rebbeinu Shalom has Rachmonis on all his ma'isim. And if this is where you get your pleasure from, you should know that you einoy mebnei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. I once saw a shmuz from Abdom Pervatsky, who's Rashiv Imponovich, and he writes Pili Ployman's Noid B'Yehuda. He says, take a look, he says the Noid B'Yehuda is writing Mitzad Halocha, I can't find an Issa, but you einoy mebnei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. The Midas are not something that should belong to a Yid. So he says, you see from here that if you do something which is not the midas that belong to a Yid, that's worse than being oiva, not worse, or is just as great as being oiva on something where there's a black and white halacha osa. And the Rebbe Yehuda says, if you notice there's a minik, when you get something new, people say, shetischadish. Okay, it comes from shetischadish v'tibola, right? That like in Yiddish they say, nitzisoyz gizinta heit, right? You should enjoy it and you should rub it out. You should wear it and you should rub it out. So, what's that? Terasis in fact. Yeah, there's all kinds of this. But all it's based on the original sport down from Shetischadish v'tibola. That's the way it's brought down from. But however, if it says that if you buy shoes, you don't say Shetischadish v'tibola. How come? Because shoes came from Ur, right? And if it comes from Ur, you have to kill an animal for it, and you have to kill an animal. You don't do it. So it goes at kedekach that you don't say Shetischadish for someone that went and he did that to shoes. Therefore, Zokta Noidi Yehuda, I want you to know it's not the appropriate minig. And then the Noidi Yehuda adds on the following point. He says, you know what he says? It goes even a step further. He says, and I'll tell you now that there's even an Isser. Why is it even an Isser? Because in order to hunt, you have to put yourself b'makom gedidei chayes. You have to put yourself in the forest at large. And you put yourself in a makom of sakana. What right do you have for pleasure to put yourself in a matziv of sakana? That's what the Navi Yehuda said. And then the Navi Yehuda says, I want you to know something. The Gemara, the Mishnah tells us that there are three things that a maskev of a of Shaladim, that they remind you about the avarice of a person. Because if you put the Gemara says one of them is kir nati. If you walk unintentionally under a wall that looks like it might fall, so the Rabbanu Shalom says, now let me examine this person. Usually when you sit quiet in your corner and you don't make too many waves, nobody's looking at you. But of course the Rabbanu Shalom is looking at you, but the Rabbanu Shalom is not looking to be done you. But if you go and you put yourself in a situation where you give the Rabbanu Shalom fakers about you, then 100% the Rabbanu Shalom starts to look into your actions. So the kids are Maisa. Now if we go through all the shiles that we discussed, getting enjoyment from bullfights, avadis, einim ibn Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Listen, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem tells us you're not even allowed to eat before you feed the animal. They say over a very famous story. They say over that the Baditshava went one time on a Rosh Hashanah morning. The Baditshava went around the whole city and he looked in all these stalls to see if all the animals had eaten that day. And he said, Rosh Hashanah is a very busy day. The animal's running to shul. I want to make sure that there are no animals that did not get fed on that day. And the Sadiqim say that it's an inyan of Verachim Val Kamaisav, that he was trying to be ma'irut by the Rebbein Shlom, Amidus Arachmim, that if we're Merachim ala Briyot, Kavachoyma, then they will be Merachim on us. But Rabbi said, it goes even a step further. And I want to quote to you what it says in the Arachim HaKadosh, and it really says this in the Mishnah. The Arachim HaKadosh says that if you're talking about bullfighting, we know that the halacha in the Mishnah, Kemisis Habaylam Kach Misis Hashor, that the way to kill an animal, if you have misa, an animal that's chiv misa, you have to give it the same halach as you give to a person that's chayiv misa, which means as follows. Let's say you have an animal that killed a person. So this animal has a chiv misa, right? If you want to give this animal a chiv misa, you need to have a bezin. What kind of bezin? A bezin shell, chav gimel of 23. A chav gimel, smuchin. So which means, if an animal kills a person and you want to kill the animal, you know what you have to do to the animal? You have to go and get a bezin of smuchim, which doesn't exist today, and therefore you can't give the animal mitza. Except if the animal's mamash is a continuous sakana, you feel it'll be a sakana for people. But if you can't go and kill an animal that killed a person, how could you imagine that you have a right for pleasure to kill an animal for no purpose whatsoever? So, Lamaisa, people that get this type of enjoyment, this is not the enjoyment that a Yid ever had. Now, I did see that there are loads of Svarim write that since it says the Lashon of Mishaloi Roh Bekinegi and Shamalachim, those who never saw these things, shows that a person that goes to the bullfights is also not going to be roya to Bissimchos. And I had a discussion with Rybelski about it this week, and I asked him point blank, if a person goes to Spain, for example, or to Portugal, and once he's in Spain and Portugal, he wants to go and see all the different sites and to enjoy himself in all these different places. So the emes is, so to say that this person goes into all these halachas because one time he was trying to see the culture of a certain city is a little bit shver to say. And besides the point, you can't say it's much of leitzim. It's not the style of these people to join. The whole thing is very different than it was in those times. But however, the only thing which you could say is that in tchunus hanefesh, it's not something that a yid should get enjoyment out of seeing. Now, the next question is, they take many animals and they put them into zoos. When you put an animal into a zoo, so you're taking the animal, which the animal would be enjoying himself, and you're putting him into captivity. So, are you allowed to do that or not? Is the nisaf saba l'chayim? So, it happens to be that one of my chushva tamidim, he interned for a summer in Brank Zoo, and in the Brank Zoo, you know, he knows quite a bit about animals. He told me be'etzem it's not such a strong shayla because many of the animals are they domesticated animals in the first place. In other words, the children of animals that were in the zoo in the first place, and they were never out, you know, in the wild. But l'maisa, there are many animals that they do capture from the wild. So a lot, this rate is svar mamate. And number one, they take care of the animals very well. But the main reason is because the animals that come there, they do research on them, they study the ways of the animals, and it's very helpful to the person. And anything which becomes tzorech ha'odam is, what's that? Anything which is tzorech ha'odam is 100% is mutah, is no shaila whatsoever. Now, there are different shailas that were mentioned amongst the doyrists that became big issues because of Tzaba L'chaim. One of the shailas, which is a very famous shuva for Moshe Feinstein, Negris Moshe, is about eating white veal. Anybody that's familiar with veal, right? You eat veal chops, there are two types of veal. There's red veal and there's white veal. White veal is far superior to red veal. Now, what's the reason why it's so much more superior? So let me bring you into the life of the baby that turns into the veal. What happens is it's a baby that they take the baby, and as it's born, they basically just put it into a pen, and it gets on its diet one thing to eat, and that's basar v'chalav. That's all it is pretty much, meat and milk cooked together. And it stays there. This has changed over the generations. Today there won't be so much. Today there's not really nisaf sabal chaim is banazer because they changed the conditions very much. But I'm writing about it when Rav Moshe wrote about it, and they did not give it much ventilation, and it would just stay there and it would not move because if it ran around it would get tough. The meat would not be so tender, and all it did was ate meat and milk. So Rav Moshe attacks this shaila from three angles. Number one, if you take an animal and you do take the animal, you don't let it develop in a normal way, how do you know that it's not a treif animal? Now, usually, you only have to check the lungs, or a few other things where it's common to have treifas. But times Rav Moshe, in such a situation, when you don't know what effect it has on the animal, you can't go on roy, because who knows what really becomes treifa. So Rav Moshe insisted that in the white veal, they went and they checked all yutches treifas on the white veal, which they did, and they found there was nothing there, so that shaila ended up being mutter. Rav Moshe said, besides that issue, there's an issue in the end of Yeridei in the Chashreifes about a behemish and ispatma kol yomer b'isano. If an animal only eats Isser its whole life, so the halach is the shach taz. We pass in that it's osa. So if that's the case, if the animal only eats basa b'chalav all the time, if an animal eats two things, it eats basa b'chalav and eats grass, then you say zev zegoyim. But if it only eats its whole life isano, the chayit should be osa. So for that too, the Ramosha comes up with heterim, and the L'chayr, it's only Bas V'chol, but the Rabbanon, it's not cooked together, it's all kind of, but they work out on heter for that too. But then Ramosha says, if you know an animal goes through such conditions, where they have to put the animal through such a great Tzaba L'chayim, so Ramosha says, a person that has a hergish tatayr shouldn't eat this meat. That's what Ramosha writes. But L'maisa, B'zman HaZeh, Baruch Hashem, I can tell you, I've checked with some people in the meat industry, and the conditions have been improved very, very much, and today there is not that much of a shayla mitzat sabal chayim. So there are many people that are eating it bezman hazeh. That's not as much as a shayla. An interesting shayla that came up a couple of years ago, which became quite famous, was because of the PETA activists. You know, I'm not obviously. You know, we're talking about sabal chayim mitzat haTorah, and we don't agree. You know, that's not our mahalach to go along with the PETA activists. But one of the things that they spread very much, they snuck into a certain plant, and they found that after the shechita, they were going and they were taking the animal, and they were taking a knife, and they were slicing the trachea of the animal, right? And what was the reason they were doing it? Because there's a certain amount of meat that gets bloodshot. If the blood doesn't ooze out of the animal properly, so then the meat gets bloodshot. Now, if the meat is bloodshot, it's not kashrus, not so much of a shayla. You can cut a shes of yair, you can cut out the piece. There's all kind of eitzes. It's not such a big deal with mitzat kashrus. But mitzat quality, it really reduces the quality of the meat, and you can't sell it as well. So they figured out that if you cut the trachea after the maisa shechita, then what happens is the blood oozes out in a much better fashion, and usually the meat is not bloodshot. This was the eitzah. So they went and they found this, and then they made a whole big deal. They put it on the internet all over. You know, kedar kam b'kodesh, and kederach of all the bilbulim today in Klai Yisrael b'kodesh. You know, it's amazing. The internet is a medium you're not allowed to use, but only to be mevalbul the oilim with lashon hara is there already. Everybody figures out that you're allowed to use it. So this is what they did. L'maisa, it's a very interesting shayla. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you in a minute why it's not even a shayla. But the reason why it's an interesting shayla, b'chlal, the major machloekes ha'poiskim, after you do shechita, is there an isef sabal l'chaim or not? Because after you do shechita, for a yid, the animal is dead. For a goy, the animal's alive, right? After you do shechita, as the animal's mefarches, it's throwing itself. So for a yid, you can cut off a piece and eat it. It's not even menachai. For a goy, till it actually dies, it's Eivim Menachai. But Lamai, so it's a big Machlokes HaPoskim. Is the Anis, it's Sabal Achayim, because Lachoy, the animal has nerves still, it could still feel. However, the Shaila doesn't start. I'll tell you why the Shaila doesn't start. Because anything which is Tzoyrech HaOdom, as we said, there's no Sabal Achayim. It has to be a true Tzoyrech HaOdom. And here, Avadev, you're going to lose so much meat. The whole Shechita, they were Mati in the first place, is no Sabal Achayim when you're killing Tzoyrech HaOdom. So Avadev, there's no Shaila of Sabal Achayim whatsoever. The Emes is there are many more Shailas of Sabal Achayim to go through, but there's not much time, so I'll do just one more interesting question. The old svarim bring down that there used to be a minig that with the kaporis, I can't say the svarim are not that old, because Rashi brings down kaporis, and the kaporis that Rashi brings down wasn't happening with the chickens. So it's not that old, but it's a few hundred years ago. They bring down that when they did kaporis, they would do to the chicken all dalad mises. That's what they were noyik to do. And one of the dalad mises is skila, so they used to take the chicken and throw it to the ground. There was such a meaning in certain places. Now, the maise is obviously before shechita, it's not a good idea, because you can make the animal into nefila. So then your shechita won't be a kosher shechita, you'll have a tray for animal. So that's obviously not a good idea to make the animal into nefila. However, there were certain places where they had the minig afterwards to throw it down to the ground. No, okay, after it's dead, you want to throw it to the ground. Memela, you clean it off before you eat the chicken, but memela. But there's another issue I want to bring up, which is clearly a very serious issue in Sabal HaChayim. There used to be in many plants that they would shech the animal, and if you ever go to a plant to see a shechita, what happens is first they shech the animal. Right after they shech the animal, they put a hook on one of its hind legs, and the machine turns it over, and within 30 seconds later, it's hanging by its hind, by only one leg. The whole animal is hanging by one leg. Then they go and they skin the animal, right? And there's a process. So imagine the animal comes into the shechita and takes a look what's in front of it. So it sees its best friend hanging on one leg with its neck cut, and it sees its next best friend hanging on one leg with no skin left on it. So that's not a pretty sight that any behemoth wants to go to Misa with. Now, Lemaisa, it's not only Tzaba L'chaim. This is a serious Shail Halacha, because there's a Halacha that says that if you shecht one animal in front of another animal, there's a Shaila of Nitzdamek Areya, which means that the Areya can shrivel, and you have to do a Bedika. But Lemaisa, we pass him. You don't have to do a Bedika, only if it was Nitzdamek. stomach because of a tremendous thunder, and it only happens the Achaz Man. There's even a Shaila in Treifes. But besides the Shaila in Treifes, forget about that Shaila. One thing is clear, that you end up with a Shaila on with an Isaf Tzab al-Achayim. So they made a takana in all the Shechita houses, at least all of them that I know about, and they made a takana that where the animal comes in, it's into the pen, where they do the Shechita is one room, and then there's always a wall that turns to go onto the conveyor belt to continue. So it doesn't see the other one. So I'm just wanted to bring out that the people who go to Kapores, they go every Kippur, everybody's rushing, everybody's to the Shechit, and it's a wonderful thing. But what they're doing is, as they're standing online, they have each chicken is seeing what's happening to its best friend. So Avada, to be makel on Saba Lachayim for Chumra to get a mitzvah of Kisi Adam is not Kedai. So you should be Mahada in such a case not to let that happen. Good.